Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Go Loud presents Opinions Matter with Adrian and Jeremy. Go Loud!
You're very welcome to this latest Opinions Matter podcast with Adrian and Jeremy, recorded at our studios at the White Sands Hotel in Portmarnock in North County Dublin. If you happen to be out around the North County Dublin area, near Portmarnock, why not swing by, pop in, have a bite to eat, have a pint, and enjoy the beautiful scenery from out the front of the hotel over the north of Dublin Bay. It really is a fantastic view. So pop in if you would, and give them the support that they've given to us, the White Sands Hotel in Portmarnock in North County Dublin. So what do we want to talk about on this latest Opinions Matter podcast? Well, regular listener Jason is not at all happy. He's been banned from the road for 3 months for drink driving. But here's the thing. He feels it's unfair and says that being off the road is going to screw up his life and that of his family. Before you start judging him, I want you to have a listen to the story that he sent us on Facebook. Excuse me. And our Facebook address is facebook.com/AdrianK and Jeremy D. facebook.com/AdrianK and Jeremy D. Anyway, here's what he wrote to us yesterday. Jason is his name, and he says, I really hope you can cover this on your show. Last week, I got a fine and a 3-month ban for driving because I was caught over the limit. I've only myself to blame, but it wasn't deliberate. 3 weeks ago, I was at a family wedding in Kilkenny. Had a few drinks that night, was in the hotel room by midnight. I drove home the next morning and got stopped and was barely over the limit according to the reading. My point is, I didn't even know I still had drink on me. I felt fine, perfect, I was sober. I live in rural Dublin and need the car to get to work. I'm paying for taxis now. I'm also a separated father and now I won't be able to pick up my kids on my days with them or drop them off. Do you think I should appeal? Because I don't think this is fair at all. I didn't deliberately do it. Please highlight this. And that is from a guy called Jason. So Jason's feeling a little bit hard done by. He didn't tell us, actually. Interestingly, he says he was in his hotel room by midnight. He doesn't tell us what time he was in the car at the next morning.
Yeah, well, what time would it be?
I don't know. It could have been at 6 in the morning.
Okay, but if it was 6 in the morning, he had 7 hours sleep. Let's cut to the chase here. First of all, we put this up on social media about an hour ago. And I have to say, there was a lot of hypocrisy in the comments from people saying he should be off the road for months and months and months. Some people are even calling for a lifetime ban. Here's the thing. Most of the people commenting have used their mobile phones while driving. If you say you've never used your mobile phone while driving, you're a liar. Don't believe it. I believe it. There's only one person in my life I know who's never used their mobile phone while driving, and that's my mother. When she gets into a car, she turns her phone off. She just will not use the phone.
Okay, fair play, yeah.
Every other person I know has used their mobile phone. Some to update social media, some to send text messages, some to make calls, some to send emails. Just drive in traffic any day of the week and you look in every second car going by, You are all using your mobile phones while driving. Now, I'm not saying two wrongs don't make a right, but I'm saying driving while using your phone is as dangerous, if not more, than drink driving. And especially in this man's situation where he pretty
okay,
much...
Okay, so let's put this into context.
He pretty much did the right thing. He didn't... I think there is a difference, okay? Drink driving is wrong. Drink driving is wrong.
Yep, okay, let's agree on that, yep.
It should not happen. Drink driving is wrong. However, I think there's a difference between somebody falling out of a pub tonight at 9 o'clock and getting straight into their car, which some people will do. I think there's a difference between that and somebody who's at a wedding And the next morning, they feel okay, they feel completely sober, and they get into the car and they just happen to be over the limit. And I'm telling you, there's not one of you here who hasn't done that either, because if you've been to a wedding or if you've been on a night out, I can guarantee you, you drove the next day without thinking because you didn't feel drunk.
Yeah, you felt fine.
Yeah, you felt fine. Yeah. So let's cut the hypocrisy bullshit.
Okay, so, excuse me. The rules are, if you're over the limit, you're over the limit.
They are the rules.
And
them's the rules.
Yeah, and unfortunately, the next day, he was found to be over the limit.
Yeah.
Now, that's unfortunate for him. He may have felt fine, but how is a guard who's breathalyzing you at the side of the road to know that you went to bed at midnight? How is he to know you didn't just walk out of the residence bar in the hotel? He's not. The fact of the matter is, when you're over the limit...
He was barely over the limit, wasn't
he? Yeah, but he... We have limits, and he was over that limit, and that's it.
So you think the guards were right?
I'm not saying I think they're right. I'm just saying that they are the rules, unfortunately, for him, that you can be done the next day. Whether or not it is the same thing being done the next day after having 8 or 9 hours sleep, he didn't say in his message, firstly, what time he left the hotel at,
and secondly,
how many hours sleep he had.
In every other aspect of the law, and I know a lot about law, I've studied law. In every aspect of the law, there is a thing called intent, and punishment is usually given depending on intent. That's why we have manslaughter laws and murder laws, okay? Will you explain very briefly and quickly what the difference between manslaughter and murder is?
Well, murder is the intentional killing of somebody. Yeah. Manslaughter is the unintentional. Murder is the planned murder of somebody.
Yeah, so if I brought a knife into the studio today and stabbed Adrian to death now, that would be murder.
And it'd be great for Facebook views.
Facebook views would go through the roof. However, if I was having a fight with Adrian and I accidentally pushed him and he fell on a knife and died, that would be manslaughter. They both carry completely different
because
sentences.
Because one is intentional.
Because one is intentional.
So you're arguing then that somebody
And I want to say again, before people misquote me, I'm not condoning drink driving, but I'm saying, is there not a difference between intentional drink driving and unintentional drink driving? And if we're to believe this man's story, it was unintentional.
Okay, how is a guard to know that he went home and he did the right thing and he went to bed?
Because most people driving, if he was done at, say, 11 o'clock in the morning, nobody's fallen out of a pub at 11 o'clock in the morning.
Have you been at weddings? Some people fall into bed at 6 o'clock in the morning after spending the whole night in the residence bar. Okay. And people are up all night drinking, and then they might go to bed for a few hours. And he could have been done after only being in bed for 4 hours.
And by the way, we also apply these rules to speeding. You know, there's a give and take when it comes to speeding. If you are driving in a 50 zone today and you're doing 54, you won't be done. You won't be done for doing 54 because there's a bit of a leeway there, correct?
That's only because of the calibration of machines and stuff like that.
But there's leeway there. In the same way, you only have to appear in court on a speeding charge if you're 30 kilometres over the speed limit. That's if you're under 30 kilometres. So if you're driving 125 kilometres on the M50, you won't appear in court. If you're driving 150, you will appear in court. Why is that? Because they obviously feel that 150 is a lot more dangerous than 120. And that's just the point I'm making.
Okay, so we'd like to find out from you, do you see a difference in somebody being done for drink driving the next day after he claims he did all the right things? He went to bed, he was in bed at 12 o'clock. He didn't in his message tell us what time he was stopped at the checkpoint. Was it at 4 in the morning or was it 11 in the morning? He didn't give us that information, unfortunately. And in fact, Jason, if you are listening, you might send us on that information. What time were you done? And how much sleep did you have? These are all very important bits of information that you haven't provided us with. This is Rob.
I'd like to know what this guy's views would have been on drink driving before he got done.
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that, Rob, unfortunately. All right, Kevin, you're on Opinions Matter. How are you, Kevin?
How you doing, lads? How you doing?
Good, thanks, Kevin.
To me, this is a bit more clear-cut. Like, the limit is the limit, and it shouldn't matter if you're over like 0.1% or if you're miles over. Like, it's still over. Like, how many times have you turned on your television and seen one of the drink driving lads with, like, a little fella getting crushed by a car?
Mm.
Or a parent have lost a child and been crippled for life?
I know, but Kevin, how come... You know what I mean? Yeah, but how come in other crimes, how come in assault there is a court case and evidence is proven and intent is proven? And how come if I beat someone up on the street now and you beat someone up tomorrow, we'll probably end up getting different sentences because other factors will be taken into play. Whereas with drink driving, it just seems to be...
Well, no, there are various levels of punishment. In other words, if you just have alcohol in your system, you'll get a €200 fine and a 3-month ban. But if you're pissed out of your face, you'll be banned for years.
Okay, well, Kevin, do you think what this guy did was as bad as someone falling out of a pub tonight at 9 o'clock and getting straight into their car and driving home?
To me, it's the same thing, buddy. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, the limit is the limit. And if he's over, then don't get me wrong. Like, I do feel sorry for the fella. You know, being rural, I've lived down there. I do need a car to get around. But, like, think of it this way. Had he plowed into somebody or killed somebody, would it still be such a small thing then? Like, you know what I mean?
Now, fortunately, he didn't. He was stopped the next morning. He was done. He was just barely over the limit. He claims, he says he was just barely over. Well, he must have been just barely over the limit because he got a 3-month driving ban, which would suggest he had a bit of alcohol in the system, but not too much. But you believe that, you know, regardless of whether he went to bed and got 12 hours sleep, if there was alcohol in his system, that's it.
Yeah, no, if you have alcohol in your system, you shouldn't be behind the wheel of a car. Like, and again, like, we've all been to a wedding and we all know that when you go to the wedding, most of the times you're going to get sloshed. Like, either limit yourself, because if you know you're driving the next day, the information is all there in drinkaware.ie. It's one unit of alcohol out of your system after an hour. Just do the maths. Like, be responsible. Because, you know, like you said, it's fortunate that this fella didn't hit someone, but he very easily could have. You know what I mean?
Okay, now Jeremy seems to see a difference between... the intent.
By the way, can I just say, Kevin's messaging in saying, how did he only get a 3-month ban? That's near impossible. Kevin, that's the law.
The original drink drive limit was 80 milligrams. That was reduced to 50.
Yep.
And if you're caught with 50 to 80 milligrams, you get an automatic 3-month ban. You don't even appear in court.
So he wasn't paying backhanders to the guards or anything, no. Kevin. That's the law. So
that is
the
law.
Question you were asking.
Kevin, do you see a difference between... intent and otherwise? In other words, had this guy gone back to his hotel room, got the keys at midnight and hopped into his car, you'd say that was, you know, he intentionally drank and drove. But the next morning, after having a night's sleep, it wasn't as intentional. It's really Jeremy's argument here.
No, to me, it doesn't matter if it's intentional or not. The fact is that, like, that law is in place for a reason. Like, a third of the deaths on our roads, like, one third, lads, are due to drink driving.
Hmm.
Like, the guards here, like, I think they did their job in this scenario. Like, I think what happened was fair.
I think mobile phone driving is as worse. It's a bigger problem.
Is as worse.
Is as bad.
Brilliant grammar.
Is as bad. What I'm saying is there are more people driving and using their mobile phones than drink driving. Everywhere.
Yep, I agree.
I mean, Jesus, I was driving to work on, what day was it? Last Friday. I couldn't believe it. Last Friday, driving back from work, I was stuck in traffic on the Rock Road and there was a woman in the lane beside me and I pulled up beside her. She was on her phone. She had her phone resting on her steering wheel. She was texting on her phone and she had two young kids sitting in the back of the car. Now, tell me that's not as bad, if not worse, than drink driving.
It is bad. Absolutely.
Oh, no, that's just as bad.
Because...
No, I don't disagree at all. I think you're absolutely right.
Because if you have drink on you, the chances are you're probably impaired, but you're probably looking at the road. You cannot be looking at the road if you're sending a text message on your phone.
No, you can't. No, you agree.
And I would rather, if I know this is a stupid analogy to say, but if you were to say to me now, would I rather meet a drink driver or a texting driver on the way home this afternoon from work, I would say a drink driver than a texting driver.
I know, because two wrongs don't make a right, unfortunately.
But it terrifies me when you see people passing you in traffic and they're looking at their steering wheel sending a message on the phone. That terrifies me.
Yeah.
Because they
you agree. The reality of it is, though, that if you get done by a guard for using your phone while you're driving, you will get 3 penalty points and a fine. You won't get banned off the road.
I know. And that's why people are doing it.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Stay there for a second if you can, please, Kevin. Where am I going now? I am going to Anne. You're on Opinions Matter. Hi, Anne.
Hi, guys. How's things?
Good, thanks, Anne. Well, what did you want to say on this?
Well, first of all, the guards were right for putting a 3-month ban on them, because at the end of the day, drink driving is drink driving. And plus, with him driving home the next day after wherever he was, he could have potentially killed someone.
He could. Here's the reality of it. And anybody could. Anybody could have killed somebody. Not just this guy.
No, absolutely not. Because I myself was in that experience. There a few years ago, myself personally was in that experience that I was in the car with a drunk driver. I was.
After being in a pub or the next day?
Pub.
Okay. And, well, what's the point you're trying to make? Why did you get into the car with the drunk driver?
That was the biggest mistake that I have ever made. And people learn from their mistakes in life. And I was in a relationship with this person, and what happened was I got into the car and he was driving so fast I thought he was going to crash, and I was risking my life.
And did you know that he had drink on him when you got into the car with him?
Yes.
And how drunk was he? I know you obviously didn't test him, but how drunk was he?
He was pretty drunk. He had about 5 pints on him.
And let me ask you this. This guy who contacted us, Jason, he contacted us to say that he feels a little bit hard done by. He's got a 3-month ban and, you know, he did all the right things. He went to bed. He didn't stay up drinking all night. He was in bed by midnight, blah, blah, blah. Do you see a difference here?
Okay, he went to bed that night and he got up the next morning and he got into the car and drove home. Should he have not thought of getting a taxi home and leaving his car?
Well, I don't know where the wedding was. Oh, the wedding was in Kilkenny. He's from Dublin, so no, he couldn't get a taxi home from Kilkenny.
No, we couldn't. Yeah, or a bus home.
Well, he didn't. And here's the reality. The vast majority of people who are going to a family wedding in Kilkenny, if they have a car, they'll drive to Kilkenny. They're not going to get the bus or the train or anything like that.
But some people do get a train down the country, Adrian, as well.
No, I know that.
When it comes to family weddings.
Yeah, no, some people do. Some people do. But anyway, the bottom line is, as far as you're concerned, even though you admit to having gotten into a car with somebody who was drunk, you don't believe, or you do believe, being done the next day is the same thing.
Yeah. And myself personally, after making that mistake, I've learned from that mistake. I know I shouldn't have gotten into that car. And I realised that myself now, and I realised it back then, and I should have called the guards because he was going way over the speed limit. He was going like 180, so he was. And that time when I was in the car, I kept on telling him to slow down. But at that time, there was no talking to him.
So somebody who gets done the next day after going to bed, after doing all the right things, you're basically saying, well, that's unfortunate, but you're still over the limit.
Yeah.
Well, then I've news for all of you. Half the country drink drives over Christmas. And I mean unintentionally drink drives, because you think of the amount of people that drink on Christmas Day. Yeah. Those same people get into their car on Stephen's Day and go visiting friends and family. They probably still have drink in the system. Every single one of you does it. You probably don't realise you're a drink driver because you're not falling. You don't have to be falling around the place and slurring your words to be drunk.
No, clearly, you don't. No,
you don't. You can just have drink in your system. So every single one of you that drives around Christmas time, if you drink on Christmas Day, yeah, and then you get up on Stephen's Day and decide to call to relatives, you still have drink in your system. You are as bad as a drink driver. So you're all hypocrites.
Let's bring this WhatsApp voice note in from Jess.
This lad, Jason, is an idiot. 3 months ban from driving. Not enough. I'd say just bar him for life, because he's only going to kill himself or someone else on the road. Can't have idiots like him on the roads and him. And he's there thinking like, oh, I got barred, poor me. But then you shouldn't have been drinking the night before, mate. Like, don't be an idiot.
Opinions Matter with Adrian and Jeremy.
We're in the middle of a conversation all to do with Jason. Jason contacted us on our Facebook page. And anyway, he was at a family wedding a couple of weeks ago. He was in bed by midnight. Obviously, he had a few drinks at the wedding, was in the hotel room by midnight, drove home the next morning and got stopped and was barely over the limit, according to the reading. My point is, I didn't even know I still had drink on me. I felt fine, perfect. I was sober. I live in rural Dublin and I need the car to get to work. I'm having to pay for taxis now. I'm also a separated father and I won't be able to pick up my kids on my days with them or drop them off. Do you think I should appeal? Because I don't think this is fair at all. Now, an awful lot of you are saying, well, you were over the limit. You were over the limit. Tough shit. The rules are the rules. Now, Jason has messaged us and he says, lads, please tell the truth about my story. I told you I was in my room by 12. I got up at 7.
We said that, by the way.
Yeah, we did say that. I got up at 7 for breakfast, was on the road at 8:30 after a full breakfast. Okay, there you go.
8.5 hours.
Yeah.
I mean, you would have thought the full breakfast would give you a bit of soakage. But is that even a thing?
No.
Oh, I always thought it was
a thing. No, not really. However, he got at least 7 hours sleep if he went straight to bed. He could have gone to his room, by the way, and drank more. No, I'm assuming that he didn't.
Yeah.
But
so is everybody that goes to a wedding and then drives home the next day, are you all drink drivers?
It depends on how much drink you had. But if you had a fair...
No, but there are people that believe that you should not get into a car a day after drinking. There are people who believe that.
Who believe that, yeah. I was at a wedding recently and I stopped drinking at 2 a.m, yeah?
Yeah.
But I didn't leave to go home until 2 the following afternoon.
No, there are people.
So I should have been okay. I should have been. Now, John, you're on Opinions Matter. How are you, John?
How are you?
Good, thanks, John. Well, John, do you think that there's a difference between being done the night before or the following day?
Absolutely, a huge difference. If he had been done the night before, he would have been getting the 2-year ban. So that's the huge difference in itself. And you would even weigh over the limit. And it's the fact that he was, just above the limit there. Well, just on the limit, as you say. And that he was done and he got the 3 months. I nearly was over the limit. So I was just on the line and they banged me down. So set on your guard station and they put me up to the machine. And I was found to be just perfect. So I feel it for him because I nearly got done myself. And so, yeah, he made the effort.
But you didn't get done yourself, did you?
I didn't get done because I wasn't, I was okay. And there is a thin line there. That's a huge difference there. I'm not going to listen to your callers. I'm not going to listen to your messages there. This guy didn't intentionally go out and have 20 points and get into the car and drive home. This guy had a bit of food. He went to bed. He done all the right things that anybody normally would do.
But having said all of that, John, I don't know how drunk he was going to bed. He could have been nearly comatose when he went to bed at midnight. I don't know that.
He obviously wasn't that drunk because he wasn't, he only got the 3 months. That's what I keep telling
you. No. He only got the 3 months the next morning after most of the alcohol was out of his system, but he could have been palatic going to bed.
It affects different people. I know people that can have 2 points and they're under arses. I know people can have 22 points there and they can drive with Chasey B. It's not a bother to them. So it's the difference.
Okay, do you think it is unfair of the Gardaí to be having checkpoints in the morning to try and catch people who were drinking the night before?
I can't be saying that it's unfair, but I do think this, and there's going to be more when I say this, we'll bring back at least a point limit of drinking at 1 point. It's not going to kill anybody, 1 point. And I don't believe that that guy would have killed anybody on his way home either. And definitely not. He was literally on the limit. Over the limit. Sorry.
I know, but the argument here is, John, the limit is the limit. And, you have to have a cut-off point.
I understand that too. He made the effort and he did. He tried his best, and I think you should appeal it as well. That's what he said. I think you should appeal it.
Okay, so do you think that the guards, say having a checkpoint to catch people the morning after the night before, I have known, for example, of guarded checkpoints to be set up outside hotels where there was a big function on to catch people the next morning. What do you think of that?
Again, it's just, that's another thing, Adrian. We've heard all day about that. I was recently at a wedding there about 2 months ago, and exactly just outside the hotel. The same thing, there was, you know, a major checkpoint and nobody could go anywhere because they were all afraid if they were over the limit. You know, that's another thing. But look, he made the effort and I don't think he should have. You are saying it to yourself. It was over the limit. He was going, okay, I get all that. But the fact of the matter is he made the effort and you know, he didn't intend to go out and get wrecked and drink joy. But
okay, do you believe that where it comes to the guard doing this guy at the checkpoint, if I'm to take his word for it, he was as sober as a judge, and okay, he still had alcohol in the system. Do you think a guard should have discretion to say, oh, go on, you seem all right, go on?
Well, that's what it was like back years ago, but, you know, yourself, be it there. Yeah, you know, you would think that, wouldn't you? And I would love to think that myself, but it's never going to happen. You know, nothing like that's ever going to happen again. If you're even over, slightly over, you're getting done, and I know that. And everybody else knows that. But, you know, I feel sorry for the guy. I really do. Because he made the effort. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, we'll stay there for 1 second, John. 085-825-2626 is our number. John is saying he made the effort. He was done the next day. Nearly feels sorry for him. Now, Leo, you're on Opinions Matter. How are you, Leo?
I'm good, Adrian, and yourself?
Yeah, good, thank you, Leo. Good to talk to you again. Leo, you've been a road safety campaigner for a number of years. This guy reached out to us feeling sorry for himself, I suppose, because he got a three-month ban driving the next day after a wedding and having had a full night's sleep. What did you want to say on this?
Only himself should feel sorry for himself. Nobody else should. Like, everybody knows it's one unit of alcohol per hour to get out of your system. And that's half a glass of beer, as far as I know. I don't drink myself. So that's, so he had 8.5 hours sleep. So that's, people trying to tell me all he had was five drinks, six drinks, glasses of wine, good glasses of beer. Don't believe it. Nextly, most accidents occur in the early hours of the morning. So that's when most of the fatalities and serious injuries are occurring. So does that not tell you something else?
It certainly does. It would definitely point to a connection between alcohol and accidents.
Like, I'm not one for figures and stuff like that there, but the facts are there. There are so many road safety campaigners, the guards, the ambulance drivers, first attenders, they wouldn't be saying this stuff if it wasn't true. Jason should have thought of all this before he got into his car and drove off the next morning. He could have bought himself one of those self-testers. I don't know how reliable they are, but at least
it certainly would have given him an indication as to whether or not he was over the limit. And in fact, you could argue that anybody going to a wedding who's planning to drive the next day probably should have a breathalyzer kit to make sure that they are safe before they get into the car.
Absolutely. Like Jeremy was on about that. Everybody does it. Everybody doesn't do it. And if they do it, they should get banned as well.
Okay, but Jeremy, you were arguing that everybody has done it at some stage or another.
Sorry, the drinking or the
drinking, yeah.
The drinking. No, what I'm saying is a lot of people probably do it unintentionally, and I'm talking about the Christmas thing where people drink on Christmas Day and then go off and drive on, or they go out on New Year's Eve and then they go visit their ma on New Year's Day and they think they're fine. I don't know anybody that does a self breathalyzing check on New Year's Day.
You don't think this day and age that they should?
Absolutely they should, but I'm just saying human nature, people don't do that. They don't.
But that's the problem. There should be no excuses made. But if you're caught drink driving, whether it's the night before or the day after, you're over the limit. Your driving is impaired. No ifs or buts about it. The medical evidence suggests that if you have one drink in your system, it affects your driving.
Sorry, John, are you still there?
I just wanted to say to that guy there, you couldn't be serious in what you're saying. So are you actually telling me that if I have 9 points and I go out straight away after them 9 points and get into that car and it's the same as the next day, you feel it couldn't be what you're saying.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying if you're still over the limit the following day, there's alcohol in your system and you're still driving impaired. You're still putting people's lives at risk.
Now, the guy himself, Jason, who contacted us, Leo, says, I didn't even know I still had drink on me. I felt fine. I was perfect. I was sober as a judge, basically.
But that's his opinion. I had a brother, God rest his soul, like he's dead a long time now. But he was convinced he drove better when he had drink.
Yeah, no, I've spoken to people who have said the exact same thing, who believe that they're better driving with drink or with drugs or whatever in their system. But anyway, that's a conversation for another day.
And the other thing about the mobile phone, Jeremy brought up, you all agree, yeah, two wrongs don't make a right. The penalties for using a mobile phone need to be increased as well.
Yeah, they do.
I was on a TV show the other night, and I asked the Minister for Justice, why isn't it double penalty point for use of a mobile phone?
And what answer did you get?
Oh, there's a number of factors that be taken into account. There's a lot of things we have to do. And then he started bringing up the argument that the population has grown over the number of years, and there's more cars on the road. But I wasn't quick enough to come back to him and say, when my daughter was killed 17 years ago, there was 396 people killed on the road. So how come the number of deaths has come down?
The bizarre thing, I'm just thinking about this, lads, and the bizarre thing about this is the way people treat these things differently. We did, Leo, about a month ago, we did a topic on people smoking cannabis and getting behind the wheel after smoking cannabis. And the lines were literally full of people saying they'd do it. And those same
people. And made no apologies for it.
Made no apologies. Those same people, I can see their names in the comment section. Those same people are now condemning that man who was drink driving. I see it all the same. If you use a mobile phone while driving, you are a danger. If you smoke cannabis while driving, you are a danger. If you drink while driving, you are a danger. Yet people who smoke cannabis and drive their car, or people who send emails while driving their car, would look down on drink drivers.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
I put you all in the same bucket of shit, because that's...
I agree with you there, Jeremy, but it's all wrong and it needs to be punished. Like, it's people, they're listening to what you're saying there now. I know you're not saying it, but it just gives the impression that you're making excuses for this allegation.
No, but the point John was making, would you not take some validity to John's point that he was saying, can you compare someone who has one pint and is over to someone who has 15 pints?
There's no comparison.
Yeah, by the way, the law treats you differently as well. If you're very, very drunk, you will get a much stiffer penalty than if you are just barely over the limit. So the law does recognise that.
It all boils down to whether you had 15 pints the night before or you're over the limit the day after, you are still putting people's lives at risk.
Okay, John, that's the bottom line here. You're still putting people's lives at risk if the alcohol isn't gone out of your system altogether.
I don't believe it for 1 minute that... I'm not putting that point home, man. I'm going to put it to him again. If I had 9 points tonight and I get into the car and I had 9 points and I went to bed...
I did answer that. I said, yes, you're more dangerous.
Try listening to me.
I said you are right. If you have 15 pints the night before, yes, you are more dangerous than the guy has over the limit the next morning. But you both are still putting people's lives at risk.
Not as much.
How much is not as much?
It's not as much. Of course
you think about it. Does someone's life not matter?
There's a big difference between 10 points getting into a car and 10 points getting into a car tomorrow.
No, I am not an idiot. The facts and figures are there. If you're caught over the limit the next month, hang on a second, buddy.
You're not the same that it goes and leaves your body every year.
But hang on, John. If you have 4 pints, yeah? 4 pints, each pint is two units of alcohol. If you 4 pints, it'll take 8 hours to get out of your system. Not many people go to a wedding and only have 4 pints. That's the point.
I understand that, Adrian. And I'm going to say that by what Jeremy said as well. I've done this loads of times. I went to weddings and birthdays and all this type of stuff, Christmas and what have you not. And we've all had a drink and I felt great the next day and not a bother on me. I don't know if we would have been done enough at our checkpoints. I probably would have. Considering what we're talking about and what we're saying now today, and considering what that guy, what he's done, he intentionally went to bed, he intentionally done what he should have done, and he still, it's not right what, a lot of people are just thinking that he just got into the car and drove. He didn't. He done everything possible that he could have done. I suppose he could have stayed away for a few more hours in bed, but he thought he was doing the right thing. He got into the car, You know, and you said it yourself, they ran there, the breakfast doesn't really count for it. I thought it did, because there's many a morning I had big fry-ups and
I'd like to ask you a question, right?
Go ahead.
If Jason had to kill one of your children the next morning, would you make that same excuse, or he was only a little bit over, he did all the right things?
It begs to differ that he didn't go out intentionally to kill my son at 9 points in him.
You're breaking up.
He wasn't drink driving. He didn't go out and have intentionally 10 points to kill anyone.
He still had alcohol in his system.
Yeah, he was impaired.
Here's the fact of it, John. If your child was killed by a guy the next morning and it turned out that he was, albeit slightly over the limit, you would be horrified and disgusted and you would call him a drink-driving bastard.
Listen, we can all go down that route and I'll say this, that, the other. Sure, it's kind of the same as Jeremy said about someone with a mobile phone in their hand and they killed a child with a mobile phone in their hand. I see what Jeremy's saying here. You know, that's just the same, you know. But what I'm trying to say to you is he did not intentionally go out to have 10 points and get into that car straight away. He tried to do the right thing, and it just didn't work for him, and that's my point.
Okay, and as I said, John, I don't know, because he didn't answer the question, I don't know how drunk he was going to bed. He could have been in a coma going to bed, and that's probably why he still had alcohol in his system. He didn't go to bed with just 3 or 4 pints. That's the point I'm trying to make.
And I did say this year, Adrian, on the opening of this show, and it should be brought at 1 point limit, you know what I mean? And especially for rural Ireland, for people that need to get out, and they can go and have that 1 point of their shandy and what have you not. Because it's ridiculous what they have there, you know, at the moment. Like, so it should be brought back in. You know, and I don't believe for 1 minute that 1 point to kill anybody. And I really don't. And that's where I am at this as well.
Okay, stay there for 1 second, John, if you can, please. 0858252626 is our WhatsApp number. You can send us a WhatsApp voice note right now, like Helen just did.
I was coming home from a wedding last week after my son had been up drinking till maybe 3, 4 in the morning. Even though we didn't leave till 1 o'clock the next day, I drove his car. He might have passed a breathalyzer, but after 2 days of drinking, he was exhausted. So if you put the two together, maybe it's important that you don't drink after a day at a wedding, or you don't drive after a day at a wedding. Between tiredness and drink, the two of them don't go hand in hand.
It's Opinions Matter with Adrian and Jeremy, where your opinion counts.
Now, huge reaction to what we're talking about, and that is somebody being done for drink driving the morning after the night before.
I'm just fascinated by the whole attitudes when it comes to different types of dangerous driving, because I know, and again, I'm not condoning drink driving. I said drink drivers, mobile phone drivers and cannabis drivers should all be put in the same bucket of shit, okay? I see them all as the same, but all of you view it differently, and it's bizarre. If we were talking about cannabis driving now, we would have loads of fellas on. Like, I smoke cannabis and drive, no problem at all. It relaxes me. I'm actually a better driver. If we were talking about mobile phones, yeah, I regularly ring my girlfriend when I'm driving behind the car. We wouldn't have the vitriol that we have now over a man who was barely over the limit. I don't see why we categorise all these people differently.
Okay, so you think there's absolute, total and utter hypocrisy going on here.
And there's another thing, and this is a conversation for another day, there's another thing that's still socially acceptable to do while driving. It's so socially acceptable that I'll admit to doing it, and so will you. Tiredness driving. I have driven...
It's worse. That is worse than
anything. And I'm sorry, and this is coming from someone who worked nights for years, who still works nights DJing. There were nights where I didn't realise I was tired, and I'd be driving my car, and the next minute I'd hear boom, 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 boom.
Nearly asleep on the
and
M1.
I'd be driving across the rumble strips. Now I carry a crazy Red Bull in the boot of the car, and I'll pull over. But so many people drive while tired, and they're getting away with that because there is no way to police that. How can a policeman pull you over and say, "Are you tired, Mr. Dixon?" "No, I'm not tired." How does he prove if you're tired?
He can't. And that was what that voice note a moment ago was saying.
Yeah,
that
tiredness
that
is,
her son didn't drive home because he was absolutely exhausted.
So what I'm saying is there's lots of things, without excusing them, there are lots of things that motorists do that put their lives in danger. Mobile phones, cannabis, drink, and tiredness. And I would lump them all into the same category. However, most of you listening to this podcast don't. You don't vilify people who smoke joints and drive the car. You think they're great. You think they're sound. you'd get in the car with them.
Let me bring in more calls. Sarah, you're on Opinions Matter. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Adrian. How are you?
Good, thanks, Sarah. Well, what did you want to say on this?
Oh, to be honest, anything when it comes to driving just really gets under my skin, whether it's people who are drinking or drugs or just being careless on the roads. I think if you've been in a situation, I was involved in an accident about 10 plus years ago. Now, I wasn't driving, I was a front seat passenger. And it remains to be proven, but we think that the reason the accident happened was the girl who was actually driving was smoking a cigarette and she dropped it, bent down to pick it up off the floor and accidentally pulled the steering wheel and we hit a wall.
Now, I have to say, I'm a former smoker. I'm still off them, by the way, Jeremy, in case you didn't notice.
But I can
honestly tell you that exact same thing happened to me on a couple of occasions, smoking and driving the car, that the cigarette fell out of my hand or the tip of the cigarette fell off and there's bloody pandemonium and you're trying to stamp it out and your eyes are off the road, yet it's not illegal to smoke driving a car.
And in fact, guys, here's another thing that Constance just mentioned on her page. The amount of times I've seen women doing their makeup while driving are stopped at the lights. You know, and these same women will be on castigating this man for drink driving. You know, the amount of things that you see happening on the roads, yet drink is the only one that seems to be demonized, and that's wrong. It should be all demonized.
Unless
you are a perfect driver who drives every single time with one hand on 2 o'clock, one hand on 10 o'clock, that you've never smoked a cigarette while driving, that you've never eaten a bread roll on your lap while driving. I know people who eat burgers on their lap while they're driving the car. Unless you're someone who's never put makeup on, unless you're someone who's never driven while you're tired, you are all hypocrites. Sorry, go ahead. Sorry about that, sir.
To be honest, I wouldn't even eat in the car. You know that you could nibble a packet of sweets or a packet of crisps when you're driving? I wouldn't even do that because I would be afraid if something went against me and I needed to cough. You know that you take a sip of cough and if something went against your breath?
Yeah.
I wouldn't even do that. The reality of it is...
I never even thought about it. I had a bag of jelly tots on the way out here while I was driving.
Oh.
I could have choked.
I'd just be afraid if you could have choked or something, And, look, I live in a rural area. It's kind of a road with a line of grass up the middle. I'm not driving on motorways only when I would head down to Dublin or Belfast or somewhere. But the situation I was in, as I say, there was no alcohol involved. But when you see the injuries that can be caused, and we were in a speed zone that was in Northern Ireland, a speed zone of 30 miles per hour, which is about 40 kilometres, I think. And the injuries I was left with from hitting a wall, something so simple as hitting a wall. Like, I lost the sight in an eye. I had two punctured lungs, 6 broken ribs, a missing tooth, broken cheekbone. And that's just from something so simple as a cigarette. That didn't even involve alcohol. Like, if I was at a wedding, you know the way, like, a wedding you're going and you're potentially drinking from maybe 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And I would sort of say, I'll have a couple of glasses of wine. But once, you know, they come around, they top you up with a glass of wine at the dinner. Once I'm finished that's it. If I was staying the night in the hotel, I'd say, no, I'm not drinking. And I'd switch to soda water or, like a fizzy dry mineral or something. I just wouldn't take the risk of getting into a car. I like to be confident knowing that when I get into the car, you can stop and breathalyze me, which happened once years ago. I was only learning to drive.
Mm-hmm.
And he breathalyzed me. And I said, work away. I said, well, I'm not. I haven't been drinking. And he said, it's just routine. He said, you're very confident. And I said, because the last drink I had was a week ago. So I like to be confident knowing that when I get into the car, I'm in control, I'm in charge, and there's nothing going to alter my ability, if that makes sense.
Okay, but as you rightly pointed out, there are so many other things that can go wrong behind the wheel of the car, as you said.
Oh, absolutely.
Dropping a cigarette is a great example of something that happened to me on a number of occasions. And I can honestly tell you, on one occasion, I did nearly crash my car because I was trying to find the tip of the cigarette that had fallen off. So I did.
Because you're terrified it will ignite in the mat under your feet.
Yeah, absolutely.
Technically, it is dangerous. But look, none of us are perfect. But I do think you can be responsible.
Okay, so this guy, Jason, who was feeling sorry for himself, he's gotten a 3-month ban for being slightly over the limit. You're saying just basically suck it up. You broke the rules. That's it. End of.
Pretty much. Look, I do feel for him, especially he needs the car for work and kids. But the bottom line is, you shouldn't have took the risk. Every action has a consequence. And I know, obviously, he got up and he had his breakfast and whatever else. But like, when you're drinking at a wedding, you're drinking over a prolonged period of time. You might have 6 glasses of wine and feel fine at 8 o'clock the next morning, but it's still in your system. You know, it just takes time to filter out through your body. So Look at he should be grateful it was only 3 months. If it had been 12 months, it'd be worse.
But yeah, no, that's true. He obviously was just barely over the limit, or he wouldn't have gotten just a 3 month ban. So, all right, thanks very much indeed. And everything okay with you now, Sarah?
Great. Thank you. Can't complain.
All right, very good. Great to talk to you. Thanks very much indeed.
You too. Thanks so much.
Can I just address a point there that's just been made on her Facebook page? And this guy says, Beavis says, it's a different substance that affects you completely differently, Jeremy. It's nowhere near the same level of toxification. There you have. As soon as you mention cannabis, they get all upset about, oh, it's different. Cannabis is different to alcohol. It's different to alcohol. Bullshit, Beavis.
It is different to alcohol, obviously.
It's obviously a different substance, but you're then saying which affects you differently. Cannabis affects some people. Put it this way. Let's just draw a line under it. Neither cannabis or alcohol should be used while driving a car. That's the bottom line. So stop comparing different things. They are all dangerous. Anything that distracts you from the road is a danger. Would you agree?
Absolutely, yeah. And now, Leo, who was on to us there a while ago, he just posted on our Facebook page, maybe Jason should appeal.
Oh.
And then the judge hopefully doubles his penalty.
Oh.
Which is a distinct possibility if he were to appeal it. Gareth, you're on Opinions Matter. Hiya, Gareth.
Hi, Adrian. Jeremy.
Well, Gareth, what did you want to say on this?
Look, the law is the law. I've a bus license and an Arctic license. I can't have any alcohol in my system at all. So if I go out on a Saturday night, I can't drive on a Sunday and walk Monday. That's just the way it is.
So what are you saying? If you can do it, well, then anybody can.
Well, I can do it because I don't go out as much as I used to anymore. Again, that's just me. But like, I know other lads that do it. I know people that smoke joints while they're driving lorries, that they can't drive properly without a joint. They have a smoke while they're driving the lorry.
And in fact, that was the conversation we had on this podcast only a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, everyone does it. Everyone's metabolism is different. Like, I've often went to weddings, drinking from 2 and 3 in the morning. I'd always get up about 8 o'clock, get the breakfast, go back to bed till about 12 o'clock and head off home. I know myself, I still have alcohol in my system. How do I get home?
And I think this is the point that Jeremy was trying to make earlier on, that...
That
he did make. That if we're all to be honest, we've all done it at one stage or another, driven the car the next day, and, with the risk that we're over the limit still. That's exactly what Jason did, but Jason, unfortunately, is the one that got caught.
He's just happy to get caught. He's just going to have to dry his eyes and deal with it. Tough.
All right, Gareth.
You're caught. That's it.
All right. Good to talk to you as always, Gareth. Thanks very much indeed. And we'll squeeze in one final WhatsApp voice note from Darren.
Tell Jeremy to get off his high horse there. He's probably done all of the above except for smoke while driving. Tired driving. Does he know that it's illegal to eat while driving? I guarantee you he's ate while driving.
Yeah, I guarantee you probably have eaten while you were driving.
First of all, Darren,
I didn't know it was illegal to eat while you drive. I don't think it is, actually. Sure, if that was the case, McDonald's drive-through would be banned. It would be illegal.
Wait, do you not pull into the little bay and eat it there?
No, I eat it driving.
Okay, I just admitted a few minutes ago, Darren, that I used to regularly drive while tired. And I took a couple of scares before I stopped doing it. Every single motorist has driven tired at some stage. Every single person who owns a car has done it. Yes, I do drive while eating and have done while eating. Obviously, never done it while smoking, either a cigarette or cannabis, because I've never smoked. So I'm not saying I'm holier than thou, but I'm just saying give over with the hypocrisy. Now, let me just hang on.
What are you looking for?
Just jumping down off my high horse.
Anyway, there you go. Thank you very much indeed for listening to this latest Opinions Matter podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please hit subscribe or follow and click the little bell icon if you're listening to us on Spotify. And if you get a chance, share the podcast onto your own social media and let your friends and family know that Adrian and Jeremy do this thing called Opinions Matter almost every day of the week. And it's like a radio show, but it's better than what?
Bar Saturdays and ladies and bank holidays. Terms and conditions apply.
Oh yeah, good man. Yeah, thank that's you. It. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, we do the show most days of the week. A different podcast every day. It's like a radio show, except it's even better because there's no boss standing outside the door telling us what to say and how to say it.
Well, who told you what to say? Nobody.
Loads of people did. Nobody. Jeez, I had it for years. Sick of it, I was.
Oh, okay. Adrian.
Yep. No, you can't do that, Adrian.
You can't talk about that, Adrian.
Where on this podcast, we own the bloody thing and nobody will tell us what we can and can't talk about. So please do spread the word, Adrian and Jeremy. Opinions Matter, available wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks very much indeed for listening today. Enjoyed today's show. And we're back with you again very soon with another one. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.
Opinions Matter. Subscribe to this podcast for free on the Go Loud app.